John chapter 5. We'll begin reading in verse 22 this morning. John chapter 5, verse 22. Let's stand out of the respect to the Word of God as we do. John chapter 5, verse 22, we read, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Let's ask God's blessing upon our time in His Word. Father, as we consider this passage of Scripture, we ask Your blessing upon us. Father, may we be filled with wisdom from on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We've been spending time in John chapter 5. In fact, this is the fourth message in this series on the eight examples of the divinity of Christ or the divine unity, because this is the place in the Word of God where Jesus Himself told the Jews that He was God and made it very clear to them, made it very understandable for them. Although we don't have a Jewish mind, although we don't understand things the way that they understood things, and so sometimes we need to examine it a little closer. But it's so important what we think of Christ, because our faith will rise or fall upon the person of Jesus Christ. This will, because of who He is, will affect us in our daily living and our daily walk if we name the name of Christ. If we don't fully understand who He is, then when trials come our way, when difficulties come our way, we won't understand how to face them, and we will not attack them and have the victory over them and have the confidence that He would have us to have. If we don't understand fully and properly who the person of Jesus Christ is, then when the victories in life, when the good times and the blessings fall, we too will then misunderstand those, and our relationship with Him will be strained. And so the Christian life depends on having a proper and a correct understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. And so I thought there was a great deal of importance in John chapter 5 to just slow down for a little bit as we study through this gospel according to John and examine what Jesus said about Himself when He told us, when He told the Jews and then the entire world, who He is. Now, we've looked at the first four examples of the deity of Christ. In verses 17 through 20, we see that Jesus said, "I am God because of the divine works which I do." We found that those works were incredible. In verse 21, we found that Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh because He has the ability to give life. And we found that this quickening is indispensable. In verse 22, we saw that Jesus claimed to be God because He is the one who renders judgment. And we saw that this judgment is inescapable. In verse 24, we found that Jesus claimed to be God Himself in the flesh because He is the one who grants eternal security. We found that this security is inherent for the believer. Now this morning, we want to focus in on verse 23. Here we find that Jesus is claiming equality with God the Father in heaven above because He receives worship. He receives worship. In verse 23, we read specifically that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. And so we find that Jesus is demanding, He's commanding, He's saying worship is right to be directed towards Me because I am God in the flesh. He said it would be wrong for one to worship God in heaven and not to worship Me. That term honor is basically the same as worship. The two are synonymous.
When he said that all men are to honor the Father, he's implying that all men worship Him, all men acknowledge Him as God, all men respond to Him as He is God. And he says, me, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he said, I am God too, and all men ought to revere me. All men ought to honor me. All men ought to respond to me and react to me as if I too am God. And so the Jews understood exactly what he was claiming here in this verse of Scripture when he stated to them that day so many years ago that all men ought to honor the Son as they honor the Father. We know that down through the years there have been many things that have been honored or worshipped instead of Jesus Christ. What are some of those things? Well, let's look briefly at just a few things. First of all, we find that there are those who, instead of honoring the Son, honor the Father. Now, that may sound contradictory, that may sound a little bit off the wall at first, but think about this for a moment. He was talking to the Jews. The Jews made a very specific and very sincere effort to worship the Father, to honor God in heaven. And as they did so, they rejected the person of Jesus Christ. They said, there is no way that this man standing before us, even though he's done so many wonderful miracles that we can't explain, even though his wisdom in the Scriptures far exceeds ours, and we studied it for centuries and passed the knowledge to further generations, and it's been passed down, and we still have not attained the wisdom that this unlearned man has, we still do not recognize him as God. Something is not right because a man cannot be God. This is what's going through in their minds. And so they rejected him in spite of all the wonderful things he did. They honored the Father while they rejected the Son. And Jesus says very plainly here in verse 23 of John chapter 5 that if we don't honor the Son, we do not honor the Father. We've got a group today, one of the fastest growing cults, not just in America, but in the entire world, called Jehovah's Witnesses. They honor the Father. They live very disciplined lives for the most part, at least a good Jehovah's Witness does, a very moral, very sincere life of worship. They claim to be Jehovah's chosen servants, His chosen witnesses to spread the message of Jehovah in heaven, the Father, but they reject the Son. They say at one moment that He is just another lesser God, but then they also say that He's not God at all, but He's just a man. They contradict their own message, but the fact is we still have those out there today that though they honor the Father, they do not honor the Son, and therefore, Jesus says, you do not honor the Father at all. Even though your intentions are to do so, in all practical purposes and for all practical reasons, you are not honoring the Father in heaven. The Jehovah Witnesses have it all wrong. If they come and knock at your door and they want to talk to you about religious things and spiritual truths, don't bother giving them the time of day. Just take them to this verse and say, look, you claim to honor the Father, who they would understand as Jehovah, but because they do not honor the Son, they do not honor the Father. We've got another large group in the world today that honors what they call the Father, that reject the Son, and therefore they reject the Father. I'm talking about the Muslims. They claim to worship the same God that we worship. They'll say of Jesus Christ that He is a prophet, just as Muhammad was a prophet, though Muhammad was the end of all prophets. They'll look at Buddha, and they say, now he was a prophet to his people. They'll look to Confucius and say, well, he was a prophet to his people. They'll look at Jesus and say, well, he is a prophet to his people. But Muhammad is a prophet to the world. And he brought all these religions, all these prophets together and completed their messages. And so now if you follow the Quran, you will worship the Father in heaven, who they call Allah. But it's all a lie. It is not the truth. Jesus said right here in the Word of God that if they reject the Son, they reject the Father. It doesn't get any clearer. And so there are those who honored the God the Father instead of the Son. There are those today who honor Mary and other saints to the rejection of the Son. You've heard the term they call Mary, and we've read so much about her with the passing on into eternity of the previous pope. And so we've heard a lot about Mary, and the term they use so often that is absolute blasphemy is that Mary is the mother of God. And I had a Catholic explain it to me one time, and she said, "Now who is Jesus? He's God." Okay, I accept that, agree to that. Well, who is Mary? Who was Jesus' mother? Mary. Okay, if Mary was Jesus' mother and Jesus is God, and this is the way their logic and reasoning goes, then Mary is the mother of God. But if Mary was the mother of God, a mother bears the same nature, doesn't she? You see, a mother dog bears a mother or baby dogs every time. You don't have a mother dog bearing kittens or cows or horses. It never happens. It's illogical. You don't have a mother cow have a baby kitten or have a baby dog or have a baby rhinoceros. It's just not going to happen. It goes against nature. You bear after the like kind. If Mary bore, or she is the mother of God, then that makes Mary God. And that's what they're saying when they say Mary is the mother of God. Don't let them kid you with their human logic. They worship Mary as God, and they reject the person of Jesus. You can't go to Jesus with your prayers. You've got to go through Mary, his mother, and she'll make everything all right. The Pope trusted in Mary for his eternal security, for his eternal soul. And you know, trusting Mary, as saint as a woman as she was, and she was a saintly, godly young lady, she realized that she needed a Savior. Read Luke chapter 1 and the Song of Mary. You'll find he was her Savior. But they trust in Mary and other saints. You see, the Bible tells us very plainly in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so are those who honor Mary and the other saints, and they do not honor the Son, therefore they're rejecting the Father, and though they are gathered even probably at this very moment in this very city, claiming to worship God in heaven above, they are rejecting Him because they're rejecting the Son, because they're praying to Mary and any myriad of saints that they've labeled as being better than the average Christian. It's unscriptural. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. Well, there are other things that are worshipped instead of Christ. There's God the Father, there's Mary and the other saints, but there's also the Holy Spirit is worshipped rather than the Son. There's a whole group of Christianity out there today that want you to come and see a miracle. They want you to come and glorify the Spirit of God. I remember one time when I was in Bible college, a particular church there in Canton was having special services. They wanted to have you come see a miracle. They don't care if you get saved. They just want you to come and see a miracle. They just want to see you speak in tongues. They want to see you do some spectacular thing, but they don't care about your eternal soul. It's not about that. It's not about Christ. It's about the Holy Spirit of God. But Jesus told us in John chapter 16,13 and 14. I had it wrong in my notes here. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come." Verse 14 says, "He, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." You see, the Holy Spirit never would glorify Himself, as is being taught in so many circles today. And as they emphasize and put their emphasis on the Holy Spirit of God, they are forfeiting worship. True biblical worship that in John chapter 4, Jesus told the Samaritan woman that God demands that we worship in spirit and in truth. Worshiping the Holy Spirit rather than the Son through the Father. Another very prevalent trend today that replaces Jesus Christ as the center and focal point of the worship of the church is that we have many today who are worshiping the lost person. The lost person. This is the philosophy behind the seeker-sensitive methodology. Seeker-sensitive sounds good. You want to be sensitive to those who come to church, are seeking out Christianity, wanting to know the truth, looking for answers, and are searching in the right place by coming to church. But the seeker-sensitive philosophy is errant because it's worshiping a false god. The false god is that seeker who has come to that church. And so they began to change everything in their church service. The entire church takes on a whole different atmosphere. Think about this for a moment. My mom worked in a bank ever since, well, she got the job when I was in the first grade. She was what you would call a professional woman. I never saw my mom when she went to work dressed in blue jeans and a t-shirt. I never saw my mom when she went to work dressed in a pair of shorts wearing sandals. My mom had a very professional wardrobe. She did very well in her career, and she dressed the part. I've never seen the President of the United States, well, you almost can't hardly say that anymore, but if you see them out in public, they're always dressed very nicely. But you go to a seeker-sensitive church, and they say, oh, come as you are, and we're going to dress in our shorts, in our blue jeans, and we're going to wear our flip-flops before God and make them feel wonderful. But you know, in the workplace, in the realm of the secular world, men demand better than what we're willing to give to God because we are worshiping that lost person in the pew. And we're sacrificing our dress standards in churches, and those seeker-sensitive churches, we're throwing it all out the window. We don't care what God says because we're not worshiping Him any longer. We're worshiping that lost person. And don't misunderstand me. We want to make everyone feel welcome here. We had an interesting time in the early part of the service, didn't we? We had a little girl down here. And she's really cute. I don't know if you've seen her. She is cute. When we first went to that home, I asked her what her name was, and she hid behind her dad and wouldn't say a word. I said, you're so cute. Is that your name? And you know what she said? Uh-huh. And so her name must be cute. I found out it's not cute. But anyway, her first time in church in her life, we can't expect her to sit there prim and proper. Now she was causing destruction to others who ought to have known. But praise God she's here. Make her feel welcome. Make everyone feel welcome. We ought to be sensitive to their needs. But we ought never forfeit what God demands, a holy God demands in our life, in order to make them feel comfortable. We ought not to take out of the message any reference to sin to make them feel comfortable. You see, that's a philosophy behind the seeker-sensitive church. And when you listen to these seeker-sensitive churches, they're going to say all the right things. They're going to talk about Jesus. They're going to talk about seeking Him and trying to get to heaven. Well, they usually don't talk about that. It's hard for me to even think about what they talk about because I really don't know. They may talk about heaven, but if you listen to the message of most of these seeker-sensitive churches, they're geared toward this life. Geared toward this life. Accept Jesus and He'll help you with your trouble. Accept Jesus, He'll help you with your heartache. Accept Jesus, He'll be your best friend. And all those things are true. But what they don't say is you're a dirty, rotten, filthy sinner. And unless you get saved, you're going to wind up in hell. They don't talk like that. They don't preach against the things you ought to preach against in the Word of God. See, there has to be a balance. But you see, the problem is they're not worshiping God in heaven through the Son, Jesus Christ. They're worshiping the person in the pew. They're worshiping the lost person. Jesus said, if you're not honoring the Son, you're not honoring the Father. And they're not. They're not. A fifth area, and we'll just touch on this briefly, of what people worship is music rather than the Son. I know at least one person who decides whether he goes to church on what the music sounds like. He doesn't care what's being preached. He doesn't care what the doctrinal statement of that church is. He doesn't care about anything. As long as the music is what he's listening for, he's happy.
But you know, we've got all kinds of churches like that today. For Anna's graduation party yesterday, we had some friends come down from Michigan. And there's a beautiful church building, probably the auditorium seats, I would guess at least 1,000 people. Big building, beautiful building, big brick building. Lots of money in that building. God used a man to build a beautiful church, build a big church, a good church, a solid church. That man sat on my ordination, the pastor of that church sat on my ordination council. In fact, he's the one who walked me through my ordination. He is the one that took me under his wing and helped me. I appreciate that man. And our friends had attended his church for years. They now go to another church, and most of their friends from that church now attend the church they attend. You know what split that church? Music. Music. I think it was Eldon told me of a church where the pastor came in and wanted to change the music. He said, well, if you don't like it, then leave. That's the attitude. Music has become the god, not pleasing and honoring the Son. If people were honest, they'd realize that some of this garbage that we call music does not honor the Son, but it honors the flesh. A lot's being honored out there instead of the Son. Jesus says if that's what's being honored, you're not worshiping the Father. You're not honoring the Father. So how do we honor the Son? Let's look at that briefly. How do we honor the Son? Because this is important. Because if we truly want to honor the Father, we will honor the Son. Well, how do we honor the Son? Six ways, real quickly, of how we honor the Son. First of all, just simple obedience to His Word. That's how you honor the Son. Think about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, every parent's favorite verse, where it tells the children to honor their parents in the Lord, for this is right. It means obey them, do what they say, respect them. The question is, are you honoring the Son by obeying His Word? Or are you not honoring the Son through disobedience? A second way that we honor the Son is faithful church attendance. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible exhorts us, dearly beloved, but it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. You see, even in the first century, people were saying, well, I can worship God at home, or I can worship God out somewhere else. But the fact of the matter is, you cannot worship the Son like you can in a church setting anywhere else. You see, God's program is through the local church. Yes, you ought to worship God other places, but not to the neglecting of the assembling of ourselves together in church. I believe the Bible teaches that if the doors are open in the church building and you're not providentially hindered through health or through work obligations or through family crises, then you need to be in that church building worshiping God with your church. That's what God teaches. That's how we honor the Son. That's how we worship the Father. Don't tell me you're worshiping the Father by sitting in your living room on the Lord's Day. It's not going to happen. A third way that we honor the Son and thereby worship the Father, obedience to His Word, faithful church attendance, faith or trust for His will in your life. Faith or trust for His will in your life. You see, God brings things in your life. He puts you in places because He needs a Christian servant in that particular place, in that particular situation. Or He places things in your life that you look at as an obstacle that He looks at as a growth or a stepping stone, how you can grow into His image. But so often we're so concerned with all these little things, petty things that are going on in our life that we lose sight of His purpose, His will. And we begin to moan and groan and complain, not ever accepting that this is God's lot for me. We always want something else, something bigger, something better, something of more importance. God says, you don't honor me that way at all because you're not doing and you're not happy with what I've provided in your life. Just simple faith. A fourth way we honor the Son is through Christian service done in His name. Christian service done in His name. Now, that doesn't honor the Father to never do anything.
in the name of the Son. You see, God gives you a spiritual gift. Have you been faithful in using that spiritual gift? You may look at me and say, well, I don't even know what my spiritual gift might be. I don't even know what God might have me to do. I don't know what service I could even do that I'm qualified for. Is that God's fault? Is that this church's fault? Is that my fault as a pastor? Is that my responsibility? Is that our church's responsibility? No, it's your responsibility. If you would come to me and say, Pastor, I want to find out what my spiritual gift is, I will do everything in my power to help you. If you, before the church, want to find out what your spiritual gift is and do service for Christ, I can guarantee you that the folks in this church will encourage you and help you in every way that they possibly can. That's just the way it works. But so often we don't do it for one reason or another. We either don't want to make a commitment, or we're just too afraid to be in front of people, or for some other reason, maybe we're just too selfish with our time. God says, you're not honoring me because you're not honoring the Son by doing service in my name. Another way that we honor the Son and thereby worship the Father: obedience to His Word, faithful church attendance, faith in His will for your life, Christian service in His name, but also prayer. Prayer in His name. That's a way to honor the Son and thereby worship the Father. We don't usually look at worship in that fashion. I'm so sick and tired of hearing reference to worship leaders, and all they're talking about is someone who gets up and sings a song. That's not a worship leader. Not a worship leader at all, because in the connotation of what's being used, it is not bringing honor to the Son. We lose sight of the fact that simple obedience, that faithful church attendance, that simple faith in our everyday life, that Christian service and prayer, all these things are service. They're all worship. They're all honoring to Him. You see, it's all worship. We can't categorize worship into a little song in our life that we claimed is towards God. And it may be, and our hearts may be sincere, but worship is so much more than just that. And if you spend time in prayer, that's honoring the Son and worshiping the Father. The final way this morning that we'll mention as far as how do we honor the Son: by witnessing in His name. You realize when you witness, when you share your faith in Christ with somebody else who may or may not be lost, but if you're faithful in sharing your faith, you're honoring the Son and you're worshiping the Father. So often we miss that part of worship, don't we? Because we keep our tongue. We don't share what Christ did for us with a lost and needy soul. You're not honoring the Son if you don't. And so Jesus says, I am God, because your worship needs to be directed towards me just as it is towards the Father. This worship in the life of a Christian is inevitable. There will come a day when you will worship. Better off here on earth than to wait till you get to heaven. Won't you worship Him this day? Father, we thank You for Your Word and how plain You are to us in sharing with us the truth that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, one whom we need to honor and worship with our lives. Father, we know it's so easy to be distracted and let other things come in the way. But Father, may we seek out with sincere hearts, hearts willing to take a commitment to worship You and do whatever You might ask us to do. We'll thank You for all that You'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.